nervous.
Blog Talk Radio.
Today, I am your co-host, Yale Beverly, and on the left coast is the co-hostess with the mostest.
Holla.
That's your cue. That's always your cue. Why always miss your cue?
Because I like to arrive fashionably late.
CP time. Miss Kamal.
Hi.
Before we get into it, I just have to bring this back because it was such a popular feature last week.
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
See,
tomfoolery.
That is the kind of foolishness that we are wrapped up in today, where we find ourselves today. Again, July 24th, 2012. We're going to talk tonight about a few things going on in the news. Of course, the number one news story of the day is the horrific situation that happened in Aurora, Colorado this past week, with the shooting and the midnight premiere of The Dark Knight Rises. And I'd like to discuss, and this is going to be a good show. I can feel it in my bones. This is going to be a good show because
you and Tina
last week we touched on the NRA and their insistence and their never-ending lie that the Obama administration is coming to get everyone's guns, and how this lie has been being propagated since 2007, 2008.
Yes, and it prompted a superb, I might say, rant from me. Is your taxi here?
I think what I'm going to do is just start tracking and wearing the show when the sirens come down. If we start talking bad about the Tea Party and the Republicans, I think that's when the sirens go off. Go ahead, Kamal. I'm sorry.
I said it set off a particularly spectacular rant from myself.
Yes.
When we were discussing this.
Yes, and we know your rants are very particular and spectacular.
Especially when I'm right.
Especially when you think you're right, yes. And so let's just dive in. There's no need, I think, to rehash the events in detail other than to say a total nutcase is singularly, at this point we know, singularly responsible for the deaths of 12 people, the wounding of another 50 or more people.
Yeah, I think it was 59. I think it is, in terms of massacres in the history of this country, it is the most people that have been injured ever. Not the most people killed, but certainly the most people injured.
Okay, America. What's it going to take? What's it going to take?
I will ask the question that I asked last week. What do you need 13 bullets for that you can't do with six? And in this case, 6,000. This man had 6,000 bullets, over 6,000. He had 3,000 for the two assault weapons and 350 for the handguns. What do you need 6,300 bullets for? I mean, obviously we know what you need them for, but what do you need them for?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take out a theater with six bullets.
But, I mean, you know, had my black ass been trying to buy that kind of weaponry, y'all would still be looking for me.
No, actually, you would probably be able to get
it. With my name, please.
Point. This is my point. Your name for our listening audience, please pronounce your entire name.
I got people looking for me. I don't think so.
I don't have any problem giving them your address, so it's not a problem. Especially if they come.
My name is Kamal Jaime Larsoul.
Okay. My name is Yale Beverly.
No, it's not.
These are two names.
It's Yale Theodore Beverly.
To turn around
if I
got to
give up my middle name, you got to give up your middle name.
Hey, my name
Theodore.
Is Yale Beverly, okay? But these are two names that make people go, huh? Turn around, ask questions. You yourself said you can't go buy cough syrup.
No, you know what?
In your
no, America. Let me tell you what I did, America.
America.
I went to Target because my kids are always sick. And I went to Target, and they had cough syrup on sale. This was last week. And it was 2 for $5. So, yes, I know it's July, but I was thinking ahead. I'm thinking for November. So, and you can't pass up cough syrup 2 for $5. I bought the adult cough formula DM Max non-drowsy. This is the generic version of adult Robitussin. I bought 2 4-ounce bottles of cherry. I had to give them my driver's license. I could not in the state of Washington, hear me people, let me tell it. I could not in the state of Washington buy 8 ounces of cough syrup in July without having to give over my identification. Yet this idiot in Colorado can buy 6,000 bullets over the internet. What's wrong with this system? What is wrong with this system? What is wrong with a system that tries to track your purchases in case you decide you want to make what do they make out of cough syrup? Meth?
I wouldn't know. I was raised in a convent.
My silly ass was like, I laughed. I was like, oh, I thought they took alcohol out of cough syrup. I thought I was being carded because there was alcohol in cough syrup. She was like, no, there's whatever ingredient is in there. They use it to make, like, meth or something, some whatever. But how am I in a society that allows a person to purchase something that kills 12 people and wounds 59, and I can't even cure a cough without showing my driver's license? Somebody please explain this to me. I don't get it. And I don't want to hear that he purchased the bullets legally or he purchased the guns legally. He just did it over the internet. Then it needs to be illegal. There needs to be tracking in place. There should have been some little squinty-eyed FBI agent going, wait a minute now. Why is this fool trying to buy fertilizer and bomb-making materials and 6,000 bullets and 4 guns? Something ain't right. That's what should have happened. There are no checks and balances in place when you can legally buy an arsenal. And I don't want to hear that I'm trying to stop people from – I'm not trying to stop you from protecting your home. But do you really need 6,000 bullets to protect your house? I don't think so. You know, in 15 years we have the zombie apocalypse, sure. But today –
but you got to be stocked up because you never know when the zombies will sneak up.
No, you know what?
Those are some fast zombies. I mean, they walk it maybe 2 or 3 blocks a week.
Now, that is some BS and shenanigans. He should not have been able to do that.
I would have thought that after what happened at Virginia Tech University a few years ago, the whole idea of someone mass purchasing ammunition should have caused someone to go, what the heck?
And if nobody has their eye on the ball.
Right.
Well,
they
close
their eye to the ball. As the tagline in the Nightlifer newsletter says, we cannot continue to go through life with our eyes wide shut.
No, I mean, people are so busy trying to protect their Second Amendment rights, which, if you know your Constitution, gives you the right to be in an organized militia.
Yep.
Not carry 6,000 bullets in your apartment.
But organized militias are also just another way for rednecks with guns to get together and cause trouble. And then she brought that up. Let's do a little history lesson. When that was put into the Constitution, America was a wilderness. People were still homesteading. People were still carving out places in this country to live. So I have a severe problem with the way our American forefathers cleared the land by clearing out the indigenous people. There were still opportunities for bears and foxes and wolves to walk up on your front door and say hello and eat you. So yes, you needed to carry a gun. And then there was always the threat that some older, larger nation, Great Britain, France, maybe even Spain, would try to invade and take over the colonies, take over the country, go to war against the country, and you needed a readily armed citizenry to help fight back that issue.
Right. I think it was more about protecting the citizenry from Britain coming back and acting stupid.
But here we are, when there is not a country on this planet dumb enough to send people to America, mainly because of their armed redneck population, but the logistics of attacking this country are foreboding. There's nobody that's going to try to attack America in an all-out war, not today. So the issue, the question.
Well,
of,
not a ground war anyway.
Right, not a ground war, but even a mass air assault would not work. You can only fly a plane into this country unnoticed if you're carrying a bunch of drugs in the belly of it. But the possibility of America being attacked is so remote that even though I am a gun owner, a proud gun owner, and I own several weapons, none of them are assault weapons unless you want to take into account my anti-aircraft array on the roof of my house.
Dumb.
No one, there is no need for the mass amounts of assault weapons that people want to buy. If you want your assault weapon, and I'm not saying you can't want what you want, but let's get realistic.
I want Denzel here in the morning. It ain't going to happen.
But let's just get real, America. If you want an assault weapon, you should be able to buy an assault weapon. It should not be able to be turning on full auto. You should be allowed to have one. You should not be allowed to carry it except in the same way you carry a handgun that you never permit, locked in a case in the trunk of your car.
But here's my question, Yael Theodore. Aside from a gun collector, why would you want it? I don't understand that. What is the point? I really don't.
Well, again, as we discussed, and as you just said, and I think what you're trying to say, is not, and correct me if I'm wrong for putting words in your mouth, not just
from
a collector standpoint, but if it is your hobby to go and shoot your assault weapon at competitions or in an indoor range, then, yeah, I find no fault with that. But you don't need an AK-47, an AR-14, AR-15, an Uzi, you know, a bar. You don't need an arsenal. You don't need an arsenal. You can take as many weapons as you want into a range or at an outdoor range and shoot, and you got to lug, you know, a truckload of weapons. There, right there, should be an indicator that you're a very lonely and strange person.
See, I guess my thing is, you know, my hobby are computers and cell phones and movies, you know, and maybe it's just that I can't understand it because it's just not who I am. But I just don't understand. I don't see how I could wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, I think I want to take up championship shooting. I'm just going to go buy me a rifle. I mean, even, you know, I'm not a hunter. I don't begrudge hunting. Like I said, my grandfather used to hunt, you know. I've had fresh meat. Nothing beats fresh meat. Shut up, Yale. Just shut it up. But, I mean, I just don't understand it. I really, honestly, truly don't understand it. And I'm not trying to insult anybody who may own rifles for that or guns for that purpose, but I just don't understand where in your psyche, at what point in your life, do you become fascinated with guns.
Well,
I just don't.
I think this would be a great issue for people to call in on, listeners to call in on. If you're listening live, please dial in at 347-205-9763. But I have to agree with you to an extent, Kamal. But see, I watch a couple of shows that I found extremely interesting in the psyche of what goes on. One is called American Guns, and ironically, the show is about a gun store in Colorado. And the other one I just started watching is called Combat Pawn. It's about a gun shop in North Carolina, right outside of Fort Bragg. And if you watch these shows, you see the mentality of the people that come in. Some of them are legitimate or appear to be legitimate, I want a gun for home defense people. But on the
Which
first
I
show,
completely understand.
Right.
Within reason, a gun. We don't need Machine Gun Nettie.
Right. Actually, it's Machine Gun Kelly, and Frank Nitti was.
Does it really matter at this point?
Yeah, you're right. My nerd alert just went off.
Thank you.
But, you know, with the first mentioned show, American Guns, first of all, sidebar real quick, the only real reality show that I watch that I think is unscripted and real and as real as it can be
is The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Is close. Almost the same, is Deadliest Catch, about the people who crab in Alaska. But
that
this show,
like American Housewives of Atlanta.
Well, same thing. They are fishing for crabs.
They are crabbing. Yes, indeed.
They are crabbing.
And some haven't, but that's okay.
Yeah, or worse. These shows are so scripted and set up, and you know. When the person comes into the gun shop and talks to the owner or the staff and tells them that they want a specialized gun, you know it's set up when you can see the remote mic strapped to the guy's or the person's back with the radio pack there and all. So you know it's a setup. But the first show, they customize guns. They make specialty weapons for people. And it's always some setup at the end where they successfully complete a customization or build for someone, and they take them out in this field, and they shoot targets that have been rigged to blow up, and it's all spectacular. And also in that, the owner always is always going out to some guy's house who lives way out in remote. He has to get there by helicopter, and they want to trade guns, and he pulls out a stack of $100 bills and will pay, I've seen him pay $60,000 for a gun collection, and these guns are so blah, 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 blah.
That show sounds about as interesting as watching paint dry.
It's almost as interesting as watching paint dry. But
and grass grow.
But the thing that I get from that show is the mentality of these people and why they need all these guns. Now, most of the guns that the owner goes out and pays all this money for are antique or very elaborate or very, very expensive hunting weapons. Okay? There was one guy who goes to Africa to big game hunt, and he had all these and none of these guns are semi-automatic or automatic weapons. You know, they are for trophy hunting or whatever, but they're for hunting.
Okay.
You go back to the other show, the second show I mentioned, Combat Pawn. They get a lot of people to come in, and they're ex-military or military, active duty military, and they want guns to, you know, automatic weapons, semi-automatic weapons. And it's a different vibe to the show. But again, all scripted. They all have these little setups to make you think this is the reality of how these people interact on a daily basis. But no. But just the mentality of why some of these people feel they have to have guns and why guns are great. And in the case of the second show, the last episode I watched, which was the other night, a man brought his 7-year-old daughter in to buy her first weapon, and it was a .22 caliber AR-15. Now, for those uninitiated,
Wait a second.
Seven.
I said seven.
Yes, I said seven. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, seven. Take the wheel.
Now, for the uninitiated, an AR-15 is the citizen's version of an M16. So it looks very, very similar to an M16. Same build, same look, but it's a .22 caliber. It's a very small caliber gun, very little kickback. It'll still kill you. It'll kill you deader than a doorknob. But a 7-year-old.
Is there a hunting purpose for that rifle?
You can use that one legitimately for hunting. I wouldn't take it out for anything bigger than, say, a rabbit or a fox.
I wish my husband would take my daughter somewhere to buy a AR-22, whatever the hell. I wish he would.
My son is 12 years old. I won't buy him a gun, period. And I own guns. My son doesn't even know I own guns. That's my personal choice. But when you have that mentality that you're buying your children guns at 7 and you're not living out in Wyoming where you need to have your kid go out and help you hunt for dinner.
Right.
Or Montana or North Dakota. And maybe you want to get your child used to shooting, but I think 7's way too young. Why can you buy your 7-year-old a gun, but you can't get your 15-year-old a driver's license?
Or you get carded when you're 25 trying to buy cough syrup. Shut up.
We have a caller. I'm calling from the 240 area code. Caller, do you have a question, a statement, or would you like to contribute to the conversation?
I do, and I appreciate you guys very much. Yale, this is Robin Schiff with Mothership Productions. I love your show, and I'm very glad to hear that you're speaking about the subject, especially being that we
Hi.
I especially think because, we had an unfortunate situation in Aurora, Colorado, and that was, it wasn't very good at all, and there are several people, young people, who passed 23, 25, 27, even 6 years old. And I do agree on both sides of your conversation where you said that, you know, why in the world would you have to even collect guns? And but it's interesting, it's watching grass grow, and I do understand that. But there are many, you know, reasons why people collect guns. People collect guns just as much as people collect samurai swords and things like that and put them on their wall for display
point.
And conversation. But like you said, you know, my child is 8, and if I carried a gun, which I do plan on in the foreseeable future.
But wait, let me stop you right there real quick, Robin. Plan on getting a gun and carrying a gun, right?
Yes, in the house, not on me. I know some people who have permits say, yes,
but
I have a gun and I can carry it along anyway, anytime I want to. I know.
Right, but put this in perspective. You live in Baltimore City.
Yes.
And though your neighborhood is not as bad as my neighborhood, there's still a possibility that some fool will try to come in and say, hey, I like your stuff. I want to take it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And understand that I don't have a problem with you carrying a gun for personal protection, and I don't have a problem with people who are gun collectors. I understand that part.
Right. No, I mean, that's why I say I understand both, because so many things happen. I mean, there have been seven-year-olds, which when you said that, I said the same thing, like, wait a second, you're talking about seven? That's crazy. People are crazy. I know I wouldn't do that. Come bring my eight-year-old child to any doggone store and have a gun. But what I was going to say was there are situations where eight-year-olds will bring guns to school. You know, that's why my daughter now, she goes to a school, and it's now a Title I school with some problematic kids. And it's open to all zones, both county and city. And, you know, they have see-through backpacks. You are required to get a see-through backpack for your child for reasons like this. So, you know, it can go either way, but I'd want to congratulate you all on the show. I think it's wonderful. You keep doing a great job. I just want to add my comment. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Wait a minute, Robin. Before you go, I want to examine something you just said I think is key. In Baltimore City,
mm-hmm.
kids are required to have see-through backpacks.
Yep.
In a lot of major cities, I know in D.C. and other urban cities, the same requirement is there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The last I checked, mm-hmm. in the Midwest and out in rural parts of this country, that requirement is not a policy.
And that's strange, because I say it, but most of the shootings and tragedies in the news have been in the Midwest.
And that's exactly what I was getting ready to say.
That's crazy.
Columbine situation several years ago, that was a school in Colorado.
The Columbine, you got the Coliseum being blown up. You got the kid. Come on. You got the, what was it, Waco? Okay.
Okay, Waco
okay.
wasn't a school. But still, yeah,
it
your point.
But still, the tragedies
and
are in the Midwest.
Columbine, it was the school, and Kamal, maybe you remember, Robin, maybe you remember, there was a school where the elementary school kids, two kids, took rifles, and they pulled the fire alarm so that when their classmates came running out, they could pick them off one by one.
No,
I remember that.
Homegirl was her name. It was in San Diego. I was a kid. I was like 6 years old, and she hated Mondays. Brenda Spencer, was that her name? This is like 1977, so it was way before I was born.
Yeah.
But she was picking off. She killed students in the principal.
Wow.
With a rifle, just picked them
wow.
off from her house. So this is nothing. This is not new.
No, it's not.
You know.
And you know what? And even further, before I go even further, in some of the counties, they try to view even Montgomery County, which is where I'm from, you know, even they try to say this is Montgomery County and we don't condone and these things like that. That's not true, because even when I was in high school, they were saying they started putting metal detectors, like in Wheaton High School. So, please, that doesn't mean anything. But, like I said, I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I will listen further.
Thank
you.
Well,
thank you, Rob.
Appreciate you.
And if you feel like you want to say something else, please push that number one key so we can bring you back into the conversation.
There was that school shooting. I mean, remember the McDonald's shooting, San Ysidro? I lost two classmates from that when I was in high school. To give you a little background on San Diego, so there's a trolley that runs from... It runs much further now, but when I was a kid, it ran from, you know, downtown San Diego all the way to the border of Mexico. And so we had students in our school that were illegal. You know, you knew it because you knew where they lived. They would get on the trolley and take the trolley all the way into Mexico after school every day. And I don't remember the guy's name, but I know you remember the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed all those people in McDonald's, including children. And I will never forget the imagery of a tricycle laying on its side with the wheel still spinning. Where he had hit a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then seeing, you know, pictures of the dead on the screen and, you know, knowing that it was two people that I went to school with who were at the time 15, 16, maybe 17. So, I mean, I don't know how many more massacres we have to have before this country gets it together. That, like I said, that was like 1986, 7, 4, I don't remember. And then when I was a kid, I remember my grandmother calling, you know, panicking, thinking that I went to the elementary school where homegirl was shooting up. That was the 70s. You know, we could go back to Kent State. When was that, 68, 67?
I think Kent State was a little bit later than that, actually. But don't hold me to that. At that time, I was totally unaware, even though I was on the planet. I was just, you know, fascinated with the space race more so than Vietnam and what was happening with the peace movement.
Yeah, her name, the school shooting, her name was Brenda Spencer. And the shooting happened, it was at Cleveland Elementary School, and she killed two people and injured nine. And they were kids. And I remember she killed, one of the people that she killed was the principal. He was trying to save kids. And I think this was 78.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anyway, so, I mean, what you're telling me is, along with the shooting at the McDonald's and the other incidents you mentioned, you're like a bullet magnet.
Yeah, okay, keep it up. No, what I'm saying is massacres are nothing new. It looks like, oh, the Kent shooting was in May 4th, 1970. So, I mean, when are we going to wake up?
Well, you know, I think part of the problem and part of the reason that we're talking about this today is I think we have woken up, but I think we are being told it's okay and close our eyes again by the NRA. You have a lot of pundits on the right and talking heads who are so beholden to the NRA lobby and the gun lobby that they don't want to discuss gun control at this point. It's off the table. We shouldn't talk about it. And the irony of it is, the sick irony of it is, the okey-doke that they're throwing at us is we're not going to discuss, you know, and in the midst of this tragedy, it would do injustice to the families to talk about gun control. But on the flip side, on the other side of their mouths, they're talking about what we should do is ban people from coming to movies wearing masks and makeup, because we all know mask and makeup kill a lot of people in a movie theater. Now, to me, and those who know me, and some of these listeners will find out, and all the people on Facebook who follow me know that I'm a Batman fanatic. I've been a Batman nut since I was a kid. It was so bad that my mother will even tell you I wanted her to change my middle name to Batman when I was a little kid, because my cousin's middle name was Robin, and I thought it was just unfair for her to have the name Robin and I couldn't be Batman when we watched the show.
There's something seriously wrong with you.
I got dropped on my head on purpose several times as a child.
But I mean, to your point, I mean, I agree. I think that they're going to start
right.
doing that. When we had the WTO up here, I bought a gas mask because I work downtown. They tried to arrest me because they thought that because I was wearing a mask, I was going to cause some tomfoolery like the anarchists and start throwing smoke bombs. I was like, no, I'm trying to breathe. Thank you. But, I mean, yeah.
But to me, it's high entertainment to go to a movie theater and see some people who are so invested, and I'm not this vested, even though I love Batman. They're so
right.
invested in movies that
right.
they will
they
wear costumes.
Right. They did that. Homegirl, you know, the last time I saw that was, I think, The Matrix. Somebody was dressed up like Trinity, and I wasn't mad at her because I can't fit my big toe in that suit.
Yeah, well, I'd have been mad at her because other reasons. But, you know, last time I saw it, I took my son to see The Last Airbender because he got me watching Avatar, The Last Airbender series on Nick, and I still say it was a superior animated TV series with a very good story arc, very good storytelling, very good writing. And when they made the movie, we were very excited, and we wanted to go see the movie early. And there were people dressed up. You know, there were kids that had blue arrows painted on their hands and on their foreheads, and people dressed up in airbender outfits. And, you know, I thought it was kind of cool. But we looked at them and went, yeah, that's really a little extra. But it was kind of cool to see people that vested in the characters, that they would dress up like that for a communal experience at the movie. We didn't know that the movie sucked balls and M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong can't direct his way out of a wet paper bag, but still, same point. When you go to these movies, you go to Comic-Con and E3, and people, you know, get dressed up. That's kind of neat. You can't say you have to stop this, but you don't want to stop people from buying 6,000 rounds of ammunition online. You can't say it's not time to talk about this issue right now in deference to the families. Well, goddammit, when is it time to talk about these issues? Because when you let this die down, then the American mental capacity will move on to something else, and the issue will not be as inflamed. And as soon as those towers fell in New York in 2011, the conversation was then and there about how we're going to tighten up airport security, how we're going to come down on immigration, people coming in and out of this country. Right then and there, we're going to talk about how we're going to start treating the Muslims like black Americans have been treated for the last 100 years in this country. So why is it now wrong to talk about gun control in the wake of 12 dead people, 59 wounded and injured people, and possibly more people dying behind that incident? Why is now not the time, and September 11th was the time? That's all I wanted.
I can't even answer it.
That's what I want to know. And I want to know, when are we going to get serious about this? I do like my guns. I don't think the government's coming for our guns. And again, to hit back on the issue that we talked about last week, because, again, I'm telling you, Kamal, we need more people to listen to our show, because we are always at least 2 days ahead of the news cycle with what we talk about.
That's how it's been trending.
And people listen to us or don't listen to us, and then at the minimum two days go by and something we've talked about on this show becomes a hot news item, because we're plugged in. We're in the matrix.
Well,
but,
you know, but let me make this clear. I personally had no forewarning of what was going to happen. Just so you know, I'm not involved. I know my name is Kamal.
Right. And I'm not Negro Damas.
Right, right. I was not plugged into any chat room that this fool may or may not have been talking in.
But you have to just listen and feel the pulse of this nation to see that stuff is going to happen. And I don't think we're conspiracy theorists to any extreme level, but we seem to always have a sense of what's going on in this country. And, you know, I come from a standpoint of common sense, and I think you come from a standpoint of common insanity. But
we do
not need an armed militia in this country anymore, and any single person need not have more than one assault weapon if they want one. And if they want one, they should not need to carry it with them at any point in time. It's not necessary. It's not needed. It's just... Oh, and here's another thing I left out before I finish this point. These guns ain't cheap. The little girl whose father was buying her the AR-15 and .22 caliber, that rifle cost $500. And that's a small weapon. Some of these guns go for $1,500 and up.
Didn't he use his scholarship money or his stipend or something like that? Because he was in medical school.
Who, James Holmes? And let's put that name out there, and that's another point I wanted to make. Yale Theodore Beverly and Kamal herself cannot buy cough syrup, but James Holmes can buy 5,000-6,000 rounds of ammunition on the Internet. But
well,
I don't know what
his
money for. I don't know what he used his money for. My 40 caliber handgun cost retail, brand new, cost close to $700. I got mine on sale from a guy at the back of a truck who was in a hurry to get rid of it for some reason. No, I actually made a legitimate gun purchase at a gun store, and I mean a sporting goods store, and had to wait for my background check to go through and do all that. But these guns aren't cheap. These guns aren't cheap. And you're going to talk about this country's in a recession and money's hard to come by. These people who buy these guns in mass quantities and whatever, these collectors, they find the money to buy these guns. You can go to any gun show and see hundreds of thousands of dollars change hands in no time flat.
Cash, too, huh? Untraceable cash.
Tom's cash, yeah.
See? Ridiculous. There's no freaking regulation. And again, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, we've had a congresswoman shot in the flipping head, and that hasn't been enough. It hasn't been enough.
No, because it wasn't time to have that conversation then either. Right?
Yeah.
Didn't want to have that conversation then.
I mean, I guess as long as the gangbangers are killing
the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Becks of America say then. Oh, he was a lone, crazed person. You can't hold us responsible for that
right.
Just because we've been running around telling people to, Sarah Palin, put the Democrats in the crosshairs.
Right. But I guess as long as it's black teenagers killing each other, just let the Negroes just finish the job for us.
Right. Right.
He killed a 6-year-old baby. When Congresswoman was shot in the head, he killed a 9-year-old baby. When is it going to be time? And God forbid something should happen to my 9-year-old baby. Y'all ain't seen CNN until you see me on it. God forbid something should happen to one of my children over some foolishness like this. It's on. You want to talk about buying some weapons on the Internet? Homes ain't got nothing on me.
They will need weapons to keep you at bay. I understand that. They will need to shoot you like a bear in
I'm
a camping ground in Wyoming. Understand
Remember that bank robbery in L.A. where they had on full body armor?
Yep.
And the police couldn't do nothing? I'm coming hard like that.
But I'm glad you said that, and I mean, it's a horrific situation, and I need everybody to understand where I'm coming from with this. What in the hell are you taking a 3-month-old to a midnight showing of a movie? 3-month-old child that was hurt in this whole situation.
Right. You know what? I'm a fangirl, but my thing is like, sci-fi, Star Wars, and stuff like that. But not even me.
Right.
First of all, if you got a 3-month-old, you're too tired to be up at midnight at a show.
Right. And not only that, can you have some consideration for the other people at the movie theater? I don't care if it's midnight or 4:30 or 7 o'clock.
Wait a minute now. I did take my baby to movies.
How old was your baby?
She was a baby. She saw her first movie when she was 3 weeks old.
Okay. See, you are the type of people that make me go to the management and go, give me my goddamn money back.
But I can't. No, but you know what?
Nothing. I'm trying to catch dialogue, and I'm hearing.
But see, that's just it. I kept my child quiet, and when she was
you
not quiet, I stuck a bottle in her mouth.
That you bought.
I stuck a bottle in her mouth, and I left the theater. And I went out in the lobby to respect, even though I was trying to do my job as a film critic, I respected other people's rights to enjoy their movie. And here in Seattle, they had Mommy and Me movies. And so I saw a lot of movies like that where it was a bunch of mothers with their babies watching a movie, and it was specifically for us. So now you I'm not the one you'll be trying to cuss out.
But there are those that aren't that considerate. And you're talking about Mommy and Me movies where I guess it was acceptable, and I think everyone going in understands what's going on. But when
if you didn't have a baby until you had no business being at that particular show. But I did take her to regular movies as well. I had no choice sometimes. However, when she started cutting up, I got out. And it certainly wasn't no midnight show, but yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, and on that point, the midnight show part is re-darn ridiculous because you don't need to take a baby to a midnight movie. You don't need to take a six-year-old to a midnight movie, in my opinion, but you don't need to take an infant to a midnight movie. You shouldn't take your child to a movie that starts at 8:30, 9 o'clock.
No, absolutely not. And I don't know how they did it because I tell you, when my child was 3 months old, it was a miracle if I had my underwear on the right side, if I had the front in the front and the outside on the outside. I didn't know if I was coming or going when my daughter was 3 months old.
So I'm taking your child is still 3 months old because last time I saw a picture of you, you were dressed with your underwear inside out on the wrong side.
No, that's when I had my shirt on inside out and backwards, and the doctor said I was suffering from exhaustion. You got it confused.
Is that when you had the toilet bowl on your head and the bra wrapped around your knees?
Yes. No, I seriously went to the doctor with my shirt on inside out and backwards, and he's like, you need a break. I said, you think? And he put me on medical leave for 3 weeks because I was suffering from exhaustion.
Hey, look, I just got a text update from a listener who said that Maryland Federal Court issued a decision today. Again, July 24th, 2012, making it much easier to get a gun permit. Basically, almost anyone can get a permit to buy a gun in Maryland.
Yay, that's just fantastic.
So you know what this means, that when I go back to see The Dark Knight for a second time, I'm strapping.
You may not come home. And you know what? I say that facetiously, but that, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, when the D.C. Cypher was acting up, you know, at that school, I was so upset because, you know, there are places that you go that you expect to come home alive from. You know, yeah, you may get in a car accident or something, you know, get hit by a bus, but I can guarantee you nobody on this planet buys a movie ticket believing it's the last movie ticket they're going to buy.
Right, right.
You know, or
unless you go see the last Superman movie that came out a couple years ago.
Well, yeah,
I know a lot of people said that would design not
right. Unless you went to see Battleship.
Or
but
Prometheus.
I mean, you know, I don't send my kids to school. You know, when I get a call from the school, I expect, oh, she fell off the monkey bars. Oh, she has a fever. I don't expect, oh, she was shot in the stomach getting off the school bus.
Well, you know, the D.C. sniper situation was more unique than we want to address from a perspective of Black America. We all know that before that, the foolishness that all set off with people shooting and killing, and as we discussed when Robin called in, rural areas.
Before you say that, remember Colin Ferguson. Not the guy who has the talk show.
Right. That was the guy on the train in New York.
Right.
Right. But
and the joke was on us because they said the suspect's name was Colin Ferguson. And
oh,
I was like, these white people and white folks is acting crazy again. And they showed this picture and I was like, Colin Ferguson? Don't they mean DeAndre Johnson?
Colin
Ferguson.
He looked
like Mookie and them.
Was a one-off situation where he went off on the train and just started shooting people, as well as the guy back in 1981 who drove his car into the IBM building and jumped the former IBM employee and started shooting up the place, and his name just escapes my mind. But when you have a situation where over a period of time, like the Unabomber or the abortion clinic bomber, who over a period of time starts killing people and no one knows who it is. The DC sniper situation is not something that black people do. There are plenty of comedians who said black people don't have time to be planning shit. We didn't think, no one thought this was a black person doing this. Until the boy was shot outside of a school in Bowie, Maryland. And I knew at that point that we were dealing with a black person because Tom Joyner Show would regularly talk to Yana Van Zandt here in Maryland and ask about what was going on with the DC sniper. And, you know, it was every morning or every few days it would be, you know, a story. And at one point, listening to the Tom Joyner Show, he asked her, are shooting the kids in the schools? And she said, no, actually that's just propagated across the country, but no kids in those schools have really been targeted. And the very next day, that kid was shot at that school in Bowie.
So you knew he was listening to the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Tom Joyner Morning Show. This is a black person. And damn if they didn't catch these people knocked out sitting in their car with a chicken box on the floor, you know, just propagating that myth. But normally we, as a black race, will have incidents where we kill each other. Yes, we fight. We don't do anything any different than anybody else does, only that when we do it, it makes the news, but doesn't make it doesn't make people cringe. But when you have situations like the snipers, you're right. It scares people because you're going to Home Depot. You're going to Michael's.
The coffee shop 3 months ago.
Yeah, you're going to the grocery store. You know, that is some scary crap. But that still doesn't mean you need to be carrying your weapon with you every time you leave the house.
Right. Can you imagine that? What would have happened if that audience was carrying? I guarantee you what, there would be more than 12 people dead.
Yeah.
You know, Louis Gohmert in the congressman out of Texas, well, you know, if people have been carrying, you know, the situation. He was in full Kevlar. What are you talking? In a dark theater? With everybody shooting, please.
First of all, everyone thought initially that it was part of the show. So when he started throwing the tear gas or the smoke grenades, whatever, they all got hyped up for the first few seconds because they didn't think that this was actually going to be.
Well, let me just say this, you know, and I don't mean to disparage the people who went through this traumatic situation. Somebody come in my movie theater with a smoke bomb, it's not part of the show for me.
Right. Well, you know, like
it's
I told you.
It's part of my exit strategy. I'm getting, time for me to go.
Right. Well, like I told you, I wouldn't have been in the theater shot anyway because when the three-month-old came in, I'd have walked out like, I want my money, I'm going to the 12:10 show. I'm not sitting up here with a baby. I'm not sitting up here to watch a three-hour movie at midnight with a six-month-old that's going to wake up screaming at some point.
And I always sit on the end because I always have to go to the bathroom, so my exit would have been swift.
I thought that's why you had that catheter.
No, can't carry the bag into the theater.
The adult diapers? Oh, you can't carry a catheter, but you can carry a semi-automatic weapon.
Right. Thank you.
Right, I got you.
I can't bring in my cough syrup without an ID. I can't bring in outside popcorn and drinks. You know,
right.
They're not going to let me in the theater if I got a Coke from the dollar store. But, you know, if I'm carrying my piece, I'm good.
You're good. You're good.
See, what's wrong with this picture?
Well, look, before we use up all of our time, we still have to talk about Penn State again.
Lord.
We were in front of this story. We openly debated what should happen or what shouldn't happen to Penn State. For those who are new listeners, and want to go back and listen to this, the previous shows, and those who were listening before, I was on the side of not killing the program, not killing the Penn State football program, and Kamal was hard set on just wiping everything down, just knocking it out. No more football for Penn State University.
For a particular amount of time.
Right. You were in favor of the death penalty for the program, and I was in favor of something happening. But, again, I don't think it's right to punish people who had nothing to do with the incident for something that people who are being punished for are being punished for. And the NCAA evidently agreed with both of us. They didn't officially kill the Penn State University football program, but it's on life support. When you take away 20 scholarships a year for football players for 4 years, I believe.
Yep, 4 years. They can't
that
date.
Means
no postseason for 4 years. Scholarship reduction for 4 years.
And 20 is a significant number. I mean,
and
I
probation,
think it's,
aren't they on probation for like five?
Yeah, on probation for five. So, but it's going to be hard for them to field a competitive team to play in the Big Ten conference that they're in, but they can still field a team. Now, are you going to get people that want to come? Probably not. But my problem with taking away the scholarships is you are now taking away educational opportunities from people who may or may not have had those opportunities before. And true, a lot of people, a lot of football players get scholarships who never complete their degrees, and their education is based on how well they can play football. They are learning football on a collegiate level. But there are still people who do get educations at prestigious colleges and universities in this country who would not have the opportunity were it not for scholarships from these universities and programs.
Well, you know, maybe now's their time. They're not losing all their scholarships.
No,
and
they're not losing
and
all.
And this is a time for somebody who's a third string to shine. I mean,
but you also, they have given the entire recruiting class and members of the football team the option to transfer without waiting a year to sit out. They can go to any other major university and play right away if they want to, if they're so asked to, if they're recruited away. And you're going to get a core group of people who want to play. You're going to get a core group of kids who have spent the first 16 years of their lives wanting to play for Penn State University, who still go to Penn State University and play. But a lot of those kids can't afford a Penn State University tuition.
They can still get a scholarship.
They can get scholarships, but they can't get athletic scholarships, so they'll have to be walk-ons. So their quality of play will suffer. And you know what?
Wait. Explain this to me. I thought they just were going to lose 10 scholarships a year.
No, 20 a year.
Okay, they're going to lose 20 a year?
20 a year out of, I believe it's 40. Someone can call in and correct me if that number is wrong. But I believe it's either 20 or 50 scholarships are available to every university every year.
Okay. For some reason, the number 10 is sticking in my head.
Because you're thinking about my body?
No. I'm not thinking about your IQ. I'm thinking about the number of scholarships that they cannot have each year.
No. No, you can field a traveling team for a university, I believe, is 60 students that can dress to travel. You can dress pretty much the entire squad for a home game or majority of the squad for a home game, but for away you can only take like 60 students, 60 players. But be that as it may, you're taking away 20, which means that's 20 kids who now no longer have an opportunity for an education through their athletic ability. And if you really are that set on playing football for Penn State University, if there's a way, you'll get there. But if not, and you want a college education, and you're going to have Penn State coming to your door and say, we really want you to play, but we don't have a scholarship, we want you to come, you know, we come on as a walk-on, and you have excuse me, University of Notre Dame saying, we'll give you a full ride to Notre Dame. Who are you going to go with? Your parents are going to look at you and say, you know what, college tuition is going to cost $60,000 a year. You're going to Notre Dame. And my point to all of this is you're punishing kids who are not in any way, shape, or form a part of this scandal. We're not part of this scandal. Any kid in the program, any football player in the program today, from 1991 until today, had nothing to do with the scandal. This scandal did not give anyone a competitive edge at Penn State University over any other school. It was a crime. It was a criminal situation. You had a predator who was banned from the team, not from the facilities initially, and allowed to do what he was doing by
timeline it. When did they find out about Sandusky?
I believe it was 91, but it may have been 98.
Okay. When did they – well, because something is significant about 98 because that's from when the games got vacated, the
right.
wins got vacated.
Which is what I asked for, that Paterno's victories be taken away from him.
Yes.
Which I was surprised that the NCAA did. Because I thought that was just me, you know, defending Eddie Robinson's honor and saying, y'all ain't going to do this to a black man. But I was surprised that they came down and took Joe Paterno's victories away from him. I didn't think they should have or didn't think they would have taken them away from the school itself. But they did take them away from Joe Paterno. So 1998, I think, is significant because that's when I heard someone say
So I guess what I'm trying, because I don't remember. So what I'm trying to timeline is when the incidents were reported and when was Sandusky's last interaction with the team and when was he finally not allowed to come to the facility?
If I'm not mistaken, now that I think about it, I think 98 was his last year as a coach for them because he coached them to a bowl victory, helped coach them to a bowl victory in 98, and then I'm using my quote fingers, so our deaf audience can't see this. He retired after the 98 season, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so if he retired after the 98 season, why did they vacate 98 to 2011?
Because if they forced him to retire, using the quote fingers again, that means they knew what was going on, and yet they never reported it.
Right, so shouldn't they have vacated the wins?
They kept getting him into the facility after that because in 98, Mike McCrary was their quarterback, and he went on to become a grad assistant coach for the team, and he's the one that witnessed – he was one of the people that witnessed Jerry Sandusky raping a kid in the shower.
So the argument is that even though he was – on the team until 98, they are penalizing the school for still allowing him access to the facility from 98 to 2011.
Well, 2009 or 10, whenever he was officially banned, I forgot when it was. Yeah. But because they never said anything in all that time, they never reported him to the police, they covered it up, they didn't want
right, any but if he was banned in 2009, if he was banned in 2009, why are they penalizing them for 2010 and 2011 as well?
Because they still covered up for him and kept his sick behavior from the public.
Okay, so in fairness, you know, I think they probably should not have taken 2010 and 2011 from the university since he was no longer allowed on campus and no longer on the coaching team. I think they should have just vacated the years that he was still involved with the facility and involved with the coaching team. Well, so that would have been 98 to 2009.
I see your point, and it's kind of hard for me. You know, I feel like Mitt Romney on this one because I have to flip-flop a little bit. But I see your point. But, again, they still were obstructionists to the investigation through that period.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, you know how I feel. You know, I said death penalty, period, literally
right.
and figuratively. But I'm just trying to get up, you know, I'm just trying to get my head around why they chose those particular years.
And I think, again, when you fire everyone who knew about it, when you shut down people who were in positions of authority and you remove them from the program and then you hold them personally accountable, I think that is where I would draw the line. Because now you've removed the cancer from the body. So what you're doing is you're killing the body for a mistake or an act that was the responsibility of one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's overhanded. I think the NCAA was sending a message, not that I can imagine any other school in this country saying, hey, if you want to rape little boys, you can coach on our staff, you know. But you're taking victories away from kids who fought long and hard for those victories as members of the team who had no idea any of this was going on.
And you know what? I'm trying to feel sympathetic for all the hard work they put in because, you know, this is not their fault. They weren't part of any of this. So, you know, but my argument is, oh, well, sue the school. Sue the administrators. They're
the
ones.
The families,
you know,
I'm talking about the players.
You know, that's your remedy. You know, I'm sorry that you weren't involved. I'm sorry that this has tainted you, but this is not my fault. You know, talk to Sandusky. Talk to the school administration. That's who you need to be going after. And the same with, you know, I know that there's a whole economy around the football games. You know, there's local businesses that are going to lose money. You know what? I'm sorry that that you are part of collateral damage, but hey. And you can't tell me for a second that people outside didn't know, because stuff like this, it's going to start coming out. People know. There's going to be people who say, you know, I heard the rumors, you know.
Right.
There's going to be the janitors who went home and told his wife, who told her sister, who told her boss. You know, I know that there's rumors floating around that city, and you know, amongst the kids and amongst the parents, and nobody wanted to say, oh, no, Sadesky would never do that. No, no, no. But there's rumors, and people knew, you know. And I don't mean knew because they saw it, but I know the word was out about this, and it was just all hush-hush. We're going to see, like, in a year or two, it's going to come out that more and more people, you know, had suspicions. I thought he was a little too close to those boys.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what the NCAA was doing when they levied that $60 million fine.
Hold on 1 second. I got some breaking news here. Apparently, in Southeast Dallas, police are on the scene in riot gear because there was a police-involved shooting. The police shot a teenager and over a weed deal, and it looks like it's upset the neighborhood.
You said Southeast Dallas?
Southeast Dallas. I don't know the specifics, but it's a police-involved shooting, and it looks like the people of that neighborhood are kind of pissed, don't know what happened.
Well, we're gonna touch on that when we finish this real quick, because we need to talk about the brutality in Anaheim, California.
That's ridiculous, too.
Let's finish up on the Sandusky point. The $60 million fine levied on the university basically goes after that money, as you mentioned, that the university is an economy itself based on the football games. And you got to understand, people are not going to stop going to see Penn State football. The student body is still going to go. I noticed they didn't say anything about taking them off of national television, which is what they hit USC with for 2 years. But they can't contend for a national championship, and they can't go to bowl games for 4 years. Excuse me. However, that $60 million means funds that you garnered from that period of time, from 98 to 2011, are now being taken away from you. Because you're right, there are local economies, local businesses in that economy that would be affected if they shut down the program. So the program can still go on. You're still going to have 115,000 people filling the stands at Penn State University. It's not going to stop.
So my question is that $60 million, is it going into a fund to pay the victims back?
To different charities that support and try to fight child abuse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Dallas real quick. It's getting kind of hot out there, and I don't mean weather. There's a big old mob of black folks, a big old mob of pissed black folks, which they're calling an unruly crowd. The victim was shot in the back, and an angry crowd has formed, and the riot police appears to have been shooting some rubber bullets in the ground, trying to get the crowd to move back. Well, you know, my people don't do well in heat.
So that means somebody's going to throw a chair.
So right now there is a line, a blue line of police in riot gear, separating with a yellow tape separating them from an entire black neighborhood. And right now, the folks are just kind of standing directly across from the police officers. There's like maybe a foot between the police in riot gear and the neighbors. And these are some hardcore looking folks. Homegirl got a do-rag on. But it doesn't look like anything's popping off right now. But because there's such little space between the citizenry and the police, this could get ugly real fast. You know, if somebody pushes somebody and they, you know, push themselves into the police is going to show out. And add to that, every police officer I currently see in riot gear at the front of the line is white, and everybody on the other side of the line is black. So there has the potential to be some racial allegations should this really pop off like it looks like it's going to pop off. Because it's currently 97 degrees in Dallas. You know, your people will show out in the
repeat of what happened in Miami 20-some years ago.
Yeah, and it says that the mother says that the son was attempting to surrender when he was shot in the back and that he didn't have a gun. And there's a brother on there who's looking like Samuel Jackson, heated. He is fussing and cussing at the police. So he's the first one they're going to take down. Believe that.
How do you get shot in the back if you're trying to surrender? I'm not saying they didn't shoot him in the back, but how are you?
That would be the question. Well, I'm flipping back and forth between two local websites. And one website is saying that the mother said that he did not have a gun, that he was shot in the back. And the other website is saying that they attempted to surrender.
Okay, so talk to me real quick, because we're running out of time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in Anaheim the other day?
Almost the exact same thing, except for it was a Hispanic neighborhood. Almost the exact same thing. They were chasing after three suspects, and the three suspects ran into their neighborhood, and the young man was, I can't say he was attempting to surrender, but initial accounts are that he, too, was shot in the back, and a crowd gathered, and they brought out the riot police and the canine unit, and they accidentally, the canine unit accidentally got away. And in the process, barreled through the crowd, knocked over a woman who was holding a baby, and attached himself to one of the people in the neighborhood. And so the neighborhood is saying that the police purposely let the dogs out on them. The police are saying it was an accident. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If a canine unit gets away and doesn't listen to come back, heel, stop, you need a new canine unit.
Well, I've seen it happen. I've literally seen it happen here in Maryland, in Columbia, Maryland, in 1980.
But aren't those dogs trained to listen?
They are trained to listen. However, I've seen it happen where a canine unit got loose and would not respond to command, either because he was so agitated or he was too far away from the handler or whatever. But I've seen it happen. And what happened in that incident was the canine unit turned on another police officer because the other police officer tried to grab the dog instead of the handler, and the dog went after the other officer. So it can't happen.
You know what? It's time for the canine unit to retire. That particular canine needs to go chase
sheep. What happens is you get people who let the dogs go. You're not supposed to let that dog go. And I know people who train dogs who may dispute this, but you're not supposed to let that dog go unless someone is fleeing or someone is attacking you or you have sent that dog on a particular person.
Right. And the eyewitness account is that there was nobody to set the dog on at that point. This was after the suspect that they had three suspects. Two of them disappeared. They may have them by now, but at the time, two of them had disappeared, and one of them had been shot. So the canine unit was not given any type of command to go after anybody specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, just came barreling through, knocked a woman and a baby down, and attacked a bystander.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. And the neighborhood's upset because, I mean, for obvious reasons, you know, criminal or not, you don't shoot somebody in the back. You just don't. You know,
no.
Even if a criminal is fleeing, wing them.
Right.
You
well,
know,
winging
any,
them is a lot easier said than done. People don't understand that, you know, you watch television and they say, shoot him
right.
in the leg.
Right.
Yeah, that ain't
but shooting center mass in the back takes skill, too. I mean, during WTO, I got shot in the behind with a rubber bullet. I knew he was aiming at my ass because it's big, but it's not that big.
I just am
I couldn't sit down on my right side for 2 weeks.
Right now.
What?
You're giving me 6,000 rounds of ammunition to say something. And
I swear to you, I couldn't sit on my right side. I couldn't sit on my right side for 2 weeks, but I was pissed because I was like, I knew he was aiming. I knew he was aiming that bullet right at my ass.
And it was a rubber bullet that hit you in the butt, huh?
It was a rubber bullet. It hit me square in my right cheek. So I know it takes skill to hit me where he hit me.
Yes, it does.
You know, that was not an accidental shot. Pow! Right in the ass.
He was practicing safe shooting because he used a rubber bullet and hit.
Right. But I told my husband I did have on some red shorts.
I'm trying to behave myself. It's just.
Well, see, you know what? 10 years later, I guess 11 years later, I can laugh at it. But I was heated when it happened. I was ready to sue everybody. But I couldn't bring myself to go to court and publicly announce that I got shot in the ass with a rubber bullet.
Pookie got shot in the butt.
It was like on Undercover Brother when he shot himself in the butt. Oh, I just shit myself. I went down.
There's something so wrong with you.
That's how I know about tear gas, because I got gassed. I did. I got gassed a couple times. And I was not an anarchist. I worked downtown. I worked in the zone that it was happening in. And I'm nosy. I'm not nosy no more, because nosy will get you shot in the ass and tear gassed in the face.
Let me explain something about the difference between East Coast black people and West Coast black people, evidently. East Coast black people hear a commotion, and we go, yeah, time to go the other way.
When we see
white people running and looking behind them while they're running, we start running and don't look behind us. We just keep running.
Yes, normally.
I don't know if
we have enough time, but the way it worked, I worked literally in the center of it. And they cordoned off all the exits.
Right.
And I took the bus to work at that time. So I had to go through the zone to get home. Now, granted, you know, like I said, I got nosy before everything popped off. It was just, at the time, it was just a parade that had kind of gotten a little out of control.
Uh-huh.
So I was watching it, and then it was surreal. The clock hit 4, and we all instinctively knew something was going to happen at 4. And it started off, we were on 5th Avenue, and the drama started on 9th Avenue and started coming our way. So we turned around, my coworkers and I, because there's 4 of us, we turned around to leave, to go back to our office. And they had already cordoned off, they had squared us in. So at that point, we were kind of stuck.
Well,
huh?
Were these coworkers black as well?
One of them was black, one of them was Mexican, one of them was white. I mean, you know, you have to understand when we didn't know that something was going to pop off, because it was just a parade.
This was the first one, right? This is when everything, when the WTO and the...
Right. This was the first one. And where we were standing, you know, there were a couple of these anarchists that had gotten out of control. They were like, dancing on a couple cars. One of them had lit a trash can on fire. But it was nothing, no big deal. You know, we didn't fear for our lives. And the news cameras were right there. I was talking to a reporter. You know, nobody, at that time, they hadn't started tearing up the joint.
If I'm not mistaken, the police didn't really get involved until they threw the trash can through the Starbucks window, right?
McDonald's. That happened, like, everything almost happened simultaneously. So they were just being unruly at first. And so that's what got the police going. And then I honestly don't know what was happening where the police started, because I couldn't see that far. So something, you know, they may have been cutting up, you know, 5 or 6 blocks up ahead, but we didn't know. And then the way they did it, the police just started throwing tear gas. So everybody who was on 9th took off running towards 4th, which is where we were. And so we turned to... Huh?
Who was on 1st?
Right. We turned... Our office was on 1st. So we turned around on 4th to run down to 1st, but they had blocked it at 2nd. So they have blocked us all into this square. And
I don't mean any harm.
There were grandmothers out there and mothers and children, because it had been a parade, you know, and a march. And, you know, there were mothers against this, that, and the other. So, I mean, it was really dangerous, you know. Now, thankfully, most of the mothers that I saw, when the anarchists started to get a little unruly, you know, took their babies and got ghosts. But this was in the center of downtown. So there was people there just working, you know, and we got all caught up in it. Even those of us who were minding our own business got caught up in it. And then the police started driving around block. It was like, psychological warfare. And the police were coming down, like, in groups of, like, hundreds, just hitting their shields, their riot shields, and chanting, like, stripes. And the police were just going around and around and with horses and stuff. And if you got stuck in there, you weren't getting out.
So,
I didn't get home until like 11 o'clock that night. And I went out and I got a gas mask, because I was going to work. And they tried to arrest me because I had a gas mask, and because they had made gas masks illegal because the anarchists were wearing them before, so they wouldn't get involved with the smoke bomb. I was like, I'm pregnant. I wasn't. But I was like, I'm pregnant. I'm not trying to breathe all this gas in. So anyway, that's how I know about tear gas and rubber bullets. And if you get hit in the face with the tear gas, don't use water. Use milk.
No, well, again, we East Coast black people know better than this.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not even accurate, because even if you're indoors, like some of us were,
mm-hmm.
if they throw tear gas while you're sitting at your desk, it will come in. You could be minding your own business, have your windows closed. I mean, they took this into the neighborhoods where people live, and people had their windows and doors shut, and they were smoking out everybody, and people were in their houses getting sick because the tear gas was coming in through the cracks of doors and the windows and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it is made to creep through crevices so you can't hide from it.
Right. So, anyway, that's my
WTF
story.
Well, the last few minutes we have on the show, we discussed the Penn State issue, We discussed the shooting in NRA.
It looks like Dallas is still popping off, but there has been no violence.
We won't have time to discuss the Jacksons, as much as I love me, the Jackson 5.
You know what? Those
I'm
Jacksons
sorry.
Are showing their behind for real, for reals.
Yeah, I'm sorry about all that, but I'm sorry. We have to talk about the Dark Knight movie. We got to go from craze culture to pop culture. Dark Knight
awesome.
Rises.
If you haven't seen it, see it. And you have to see it on IMAX with surround sound.
Yes. And it's not 3D, which shocked me. But it didn't need to be in 3D. To me, this was one of the top five movies I've ever seen. Now, we can debate this back and forth.
Yeah. It's my top movie of the summer, but it's not my top five of all time. I mean,
yeah, it's
really.
Up there for It's up
well,
there for me. And we're not going
to
give away any spoilers here, but I will say that I was amazed at how many English as a second language people were sitting around me when I went to see the movie. And I couldn't
What language
quite,
are they speaking?
I couldn't figure it out at first until there was a scene where people were speaking another language, and these people were evidently able to understand what they were saying. It had to be about 25, 30 people around me who were in this group, and they all, you know, they all caught it. To me, it was like when R2-D2 starts speaking to the Ewoks in Return of the Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi. They were like, oh. So there's a component there.
What language were they speaking in the movie that I missed?
Okay,
I
don't want to give away the movie tomorrow, but I'll just say the Bane's prison.
Oh.
Okay.
Wasn't that like Russian?
Nah, I don't know what it was, but no, it wasn't Russian. So murder.
I couldn't tell. It was so loud. I couldn't tell. I missed a lot of what Bane said because it was so loud.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going back to see it a second time when I can.
You were going back to see it a second time anyway, so don't even
try
that.
That's part of it, and my video camera didn't work. But anyway, so until next week, people, our loyal listeners, we appreciate you following us and
right. And
if
you want to see what's going on Dallas, the live feed is on www.nbc5i.com.
Okay.
www.nbc5i.com.
And just remember,
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was. And with regards to, I'll go back and take a look at what was said there.
We're always going to keep this. This is going to be our clip. We're going to keep this clip up and through the election. So, everyone, again, thank you for listening. Continue to support us. Continue to understand that Kamal has problems and I have issues. Call you the straight dope. What to tell you on television. Keep the cover. Open your eyes. Open your ears. All our part of
Open
hearing
your toes.
And signing us off. That's cool. Love you, Kamal. Talk to you soon.
Love you, too. Bye. Till next week.
Next week.